I saw a fellow by the name of Jim Downing, and he wouldn't let me go. And he catered to me in the sense that I figured he was a smart person, and I could show him how smart I was as a radio man. I didn't realize that I'd eventually get kicked out of radio because I didn't do too good in it. I noticed, too, another John Diedrich, supervisor. He had his Bible out in front of him. That was a testimony, too. But before that, Jim Downing invited me over to the Navigator's home, and a certain speaker was just starting out in his scientific presentation, Irvin Moon. And I was interested in that because I thought I was very scientific. I believed in evolution. I used to argue with my parents on evolution theories. I figured I knew everything to be known about it. And Irvin Moon proved to me that what a Christian can be. And I accepted Christ through him. I came back aboard ship determined not to say anything about it, but I was looking in my locker looking at the New Testament. A fellow came up behind me and said, "What do you got there, sailor?" And so I turned around and there was showing him the Bible, the New Testament. I said, "And what are you going to do about it?" That started me out. There on out, I was a witness for the Lord. I figured that was my mission field. But being taught by Jim Downing and Dawson Trotman, I was ready to go. I'll shorten it up. After spending 13 years in the Navy, from the West Virginia, I was transferred to the Idaho. I asked for that, to start a new work there. The fellow that was against us in the West Virginia, it was transferred at the same time. And I knew he was determined to destroy any effort I would make to start a new work. I wasn't ready for that. I went aside and prayed for him. I prayed that God would stop him somehow, win him to the Christ, or keep him from running the work. And I turned to the Bible, and it says, "The wicked shall not live out half their life, but I'll trust in the Lord." That night he died. And I understand at this conference that my friend standing back over there was on the ship, unsaved, and he's the one that loaned this fellow $5 to go ashore and get drunk. And then he thought about writing his parents to get his $5 back when he died. there he is over there. He wasn't concerned about his death, but his $5. And from there on, God worked in a wonderful way. Different. I was transferred. I forgot to say, I was shanghaied from the radio gang, a chief warrant officer. You remember him, John, atheist number one. Came to me and said, "Stop reading the Bible." He said, "Get to work on your radio, day and night." And he said, "If I catch you reading the Bible again, you're going out." I went out. Chaplain Rentz wanted a yeoman, so I went in the yeoman's office where we had our prayer meeting. Later, Chaplain Rentz turned out wonderfully for the Lord. That's a long story. From there on to a destroyer, Shanghai again. The spouse says, "Stop it." The Bible class had been started, and it was growing. And I remember one fellow standing outside the door singing this little light of mine, thinking that he would heckle us. But I made a raid in storekeeping, and that upset them too, because it had just come aboard. And so they shanghaied me to a destroyer, thinking that would stop me. But and the officer aboard the destroyer tried to stop me. I was had a Bible class in San Juan, Puerto Rico, through an interpreter. He said, "Stop that business." He said, "You're the storekeeper." There's another story to that. A man fell overboard that I'd been dealing with. And I tried to save him, so they gave me a little letter of recommendation. and change the whole situation aboard ship and start having services. There's so many connections. But after 12 years more in the Navy, we went to the mission field. We went to Venezuela, South America for 28 years. And now we're with the open-air campaigners. They are very patient people because they get out in malls and open-air meetings. John Thorne was responsible for my getting into that. They recognize I can't do some of the things that they do, but we work with the migrants in the nursing homes. And the Lord bless you.
Laverne Tift.
I thought you'd remember my name.
Well, you know, don't go away. I'm here today because this man reached out of the post office of the battleship West Virginia and took a hold of me, said, "Hey, come in here, I want to talk to you." And he led me to Jesus Christ. I kneeled down on the steel deck of the battleship West Virginia, the post office there, and accepted Christ. Started out in a new life, not doing everything right by any means at the first, but 9 months later, he turned a Bible class over to me. And about 6 months later, maybe a little longer, I was transferred through their prayers to the cruiser Minneapolis, where there were 15 men waiting for a leader. And I was sent over as their leader. He always said they asked for a man, then God sent them a boy. Well, anyway, by the end of 6 weeks, all of the fellows had quit the Bible class because I had presented to them the navigators straight down the line, memorizing verses and so forth. And I didn't know any better than just to pour it right on. Well, you know, then I led two people to Christ. And in sight of 2 years on that ship, there were 80 fellows that had come to Christ. We had I was in charge of the church service on Sunday, went on another ship, the Hector, started the work there, grew up to about 40 in a Bible class there. The navigator's material was behind us. And I will say this, I've been a pastor for years, and have enjoyed every bit of it, but the background of all that I do, all that I am for Christ and do for Christ, is what I learned from the Navigator system.
Kenneth Waters.
Last night when I introduced Jim Downing, I covered pretty well where I fit in the West Virginia. So I just want to say this. It just thrills me to see these men sitting here in the front row. I just met Ed once at 175 Virgil before this time. I met Les twice, once down in Colorado and once in Philadelphia. I've seen Virgil a few times, and of course, John had some influence on me going into Wycliffe and so forth. But nevertheless, this foundation, it just thrills me. And I can't help but think of the sovereignty of God. Of all the ships he could assign me to, he assigned me in the West Virginia. For that's the sovereignty of God. And next, the patience of God, because I spurned him 2 years after I was on there. And I knew better. But yet he's patient. And I didn't need someone to witness to me of the grace of God, because my dad had that. That held me. But Jim and some of these guys, particularly Jim, was consistent with that. And the Lord worked me in. And thank you, Les, Ed, John, Virgil. And when I went aboard, big smiling John had a locker not far from me. I knew he was a deacon. I knew all these deacons around. But smiling John, just look at him, was a testimony. Just look at him. He's calling Smiling John. I don't think I ever talked to him. I just saw him. I probably was afraid to talk to him. You know, I might get in trouble. But praise the Lord. I'm the kid here. And I just look back at you guys and give thanks. Thank you.
If we do not get to finish this session on earth, we'll finish it in heaven. And one reason I think that this big reunion is such a great idea, that we people on the West Virginia had such a great time. We'll think about when the Minneapolis, the New Mexico, the Mississippi, the Idaho, and all these dozens of ships and stations do the same thing. I wonder if there's any convention hall in the United States large enough to hold all of us.